Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man with ache, his tragedy. But what the world chains of sin's captivity.
Okay, Luke 24, that's the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the New Testament, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, Luke chapter 24. That is the last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. Find it there. We're going to read some familiar verses for those of you that have been reading your Bible for some time. And if you're not familiar with it, maybe this will be a blessing, a story to you here. We're going to talk about this morning on your announcement sheet. On the front side is the little QR code that takes you to the website where you can listen to the prayer sermon of the month. You need to hear it. It's John Rice preaching on hindrances to prayer. And here's the reason you need to hear it, not just for the emphasis on prayer, which is excellent, but you need to hear it because you need to hear how the old-timers preached. Because you think I get rough sometimes? You ain't heard nothing. I mean, I don't know if anybody's listened to it, but I mean, he nails it down. So, have a piqued your interest? Go listen to it, okay? You got a whole month. It's outstanding, and it is preaching, and that's what I heard when I first got saved, and it changed my life. I'll tell you, not only getting saved, but the preaching of God's Word changed my life. All right, if you're able to stand, let's do it in honor of God's Word, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 27. Pick it up in the middle of this story here. We'll explain it in a moment. The Bible says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, these two who are walking, in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And I want to speak this morning on the subject by invitation only. You ever get an invitation, you know, you ever hear of a big event going on somewhere, and you maybe see the fine print, by invitation only. And you know you didn't get the invitation, you're not welcome, all right? I want to speak on that subject today, by invitation only. Father, help us this morning. Thank you for meeting with us in song and spirit today. Lord, how our hearts have been encouraged, the fellowship of people we haven't seen in some cases for many years. And Lord, folks back home who've been gone. And Lord, it's just wonderful to be here. And I just thank you for allowing me just to be a part of it. And God bless the time we spend in your word this morning. Open our eyes. Help us to see wonderful things, Lord, out of this book. And apply them to our lives and benefit from it. We pray this, that you'll, Lord, fill both speaker and listener with your spirit and do a work in our hearts. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When Brother Brown started Marion Avenue Baptist Church, there were five families that started with him there. Joyce and her family, of course, were one of those five families. And four of the men besides Joyce's dad, John, who were founding members, they had construction jobs that took them out of town in the summertime almost every week. They were gone Monday through Friday, came in for the weekend. And so sometimes, in fact, many times on soul winning visitation night, the only two people who showed up to go door knocking and visiting with Pastor and Mrs. Brown were Joyce's parents, John and Nellie. And so one time it was just those four, and Diane and Nellie went somewhere, and Pastor Brown and John went somewhere, and then they were back at, they went back and parked in front, actually John and Nellie had parked in front of the Brown's house. And so they're there, and the evening is finished, and Brother Brown, being a Southerner, says, John, y'all come on in and sit a while and have something to eat with us. And being a Midwesterner, John thought Pastor was serious. And he said, he looked at Nellie and he said, okay. And a sinking feeling went all through Brother Brown and Diane especially, because they didn't have a thing in the house. They got out of the house. She said, what am I going to do? There is nothing in this house to eat. I didn't think they would say yes. He was just being a Southerner. Southerners don't mean what they say. They just try to be nice, you know. Hey, y'all come on in and set a spell. Okay. And that happened many, many years ago. Okay. Now, in the account that we're reading and referring to this morning here in Luke 24, this is between Jesus and two of his disciples, okay, two followers of Christ. They're walking on the road to Emmaus, and the situation is reversed from what I just told you. You'll see this in just a minute. Now, I'm not going to read, for sake of time today, all the verses, but in verses 13 through 15, you find Jesus, these two disciples. We think they're man and wife, okay? I think they're husband and wife. So they're walking down the road to Emmaus. This is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They're walking on the road to Emmaus, and they are sad. And Jesus joins with them on this journey. So get the picture. They're walking along, and this stranger shows up walking along beside them. And in verse 17, Jesus asked him, he said, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? You're so sad. What's going on? You're sad. You're disheartened. And so they went on to tell him how that they had really thought that this Jesus was the promised Messiah, and that he had come to die, and he died on the cross. And they were probably witnesses to that. But this morning, some of our brothers and sisters went to the tomb. It's empty and his body is gone and we have no idea what's happened. You see, so many of the followers of Christ had a difficult time believing that he would rise from the dead, even though he told them he was going to. They had a difficult time believing that. Here were two of them. And Jesus, is interested in hearing their story. And he said, well, tell me about it. They began to talk to him about Christ in verses 19 and 20 and 21. I mean, it's interesting to me that here's Jesus, the Son of God. And, many times in the Bible, you find where he knows the thoughts of those around him. But And he's asking these people, tell me your version of what's happened. What's going on here? And so they're talking to him, and after listening to their story and realizing their sadness, in verses 25 through 27, he starts talking about himself. And the Bible says in verse 27 that he began at Moses and all the prophets. That, you know what he's talking about, folks? He's talking about the Old Testament. That's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament. None of the Gospels were written. None of Paul's epistle. Paul's not even saved yet. Okay? So then he starts in the Old Testament, the prophets and the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and he speaks and expounds from the Scriptures. Did you hear that term? Do you see that word there in verse 27? The Scriptures. You say, why are you pointing that out? That's talking about the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is just as relevant for today as it ever has been. Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Scripture, that's Old Testament, New, that's all of it. And Jesus talks about the law and the prophets, and he shows how those Scriptures were talking about him. Listen, the central figure of this entire book is Jesus Christ. It's not Moses, it's not David, it's not any of the great prophets. Not Paul or Peter, disciples, the central figure of this entire book is Jesus Christ. And so he's expounding on them, to them about Jesus, about himself. All right? They don't recognize him right now. Then you get to verse number 28, the Bible says that they constrain, this touches my heart. It says in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village where they lived, and he made as though he would have gone further. This touches my heart, and this is where this story is different from the one about Brother Brown and my in-laws. They got close to the village, and Jesus, the Bible says, made as though he would have gone further. But you know what he really wanted to do, folks? He wanted to stay with them. He makes out as if he wants to go further. But you know what? He's not going to ask, and he's not going to force his way on these people. So if Jesus goes to their house, he goes there by invitation only. I'm not going to force myself. And the Bible says in verse number 29 that they constrained him. Now that tells me there's some back and forth in this conversation. They constrained him. Why not come on in and sit down and stay with us, sit down and have some food? Oh no, that's okay. I really should be on my way. Oh no, it's getting toward evening. Come on. The sun is soon to set, and we want you to come and stay. I don't want to impose on you all. It's no trouble at all. Come on, we insist that you stay with us. And you know what? Jesus did know their thoughts, and he did know the sincerity of their hearts. And so he basically said, if you insist, I'll come. But the truth of the matter is, folks, he wanted to come all along. And at their invitation, Jesus went to stay with these two disciples. I just want to take that little thought this morning. Just that. It's Time Change Sunday. Everybody's mind in here is fried. Okay? So it's better just to stay easy today. How's that? All right? What do we learn? Three things. Not deep. Jesus longs to be with his people. He longs to be with his people. Jesus made as if he wanted to keep traveling on his way, but in reality, really, he wanted to come to their house. I don't think he wanted to come to their house because he was tired. Because at this time, he is in his resurrected, glorified body, and he would not experience tiredness. Now, he did. Prior to the crucifixion, you remember he slept on the boat in the Sea of Galilee during the storm? He slept. But now he's not tired. What does Christ want? He wants to fellowship with them. He wants to be with them. You see, folks, this is not new. Back at the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says that God's voice came to the garden in the cool of the day to walk and talk with Adam and Eve. You remember when they sinned, when they disobeyed God? The Bible says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And God came anyway. And he called out, "Where art thou? Where are you?" You don't think God knew where they were? Yes, he knew where they were. God wanted Adam to face up to his sin. But my point is that God came in the beginning. God came to walk with Adam and Eve and to talk with Adam and Eve, because from the beginning, God has longed to be with his people. Jesus, being the Son of God, longed to be with his people. We have no indication that God desired to come and be with the animals, the birds, the fish. God had no dog to walk. And we know he had no cat to curl up with. My goodness. We have enough sense not to do that. We know God does, right? No. He wasn't interested in coming to... No. He didn't have a bird that he wanted to come and teach to say things. Polly want a cracker? No. What did he come for? What did he come to the garden for? You know who he came to the garden for? Adam and Eve. He came to walk and talk with living, eternal souls known as human beings. And I'm here to say today that God has not changed. He is eternally the same, and his desire is to fellowship with his people. He longs to spend time with them. You folks that are grandparents, how difficult is it to spend time with your grandkids? Not hard. Well, as long as there's a beginning and an ending, right? I mean, you know, if there's an ending, it's okay. You know, but Ben and Ashley are in Iowa today at Brother Baker's church, you know, reporting on the work. And, you know, he said, "Dad, I know you're getting in from Wisconsin." He said, "Kenneth, Brindley, and Nellie would like to stay for church out here, but we can take them if it's too much." No, it's not. It's never too much. It's never too much. Well, we love them. And we like being with them. We love them. Like you love your grandkids. When I first met Joyce, I started dating Joyce. You know what I died for? Time to be with her. We had class. She didn't go to the same class as I went to. I don't know if we ever took a, did we ever take a class together? Never did. 3 years before we got married and after, we never took a class together. We sat in chapel together. That was our date. But I'd stand at the end of the hallway and just wait to have her walk down the hallway where she had to walk from her dorm to the office that she worked in as a secretary. And I'd stand there for a couple minutes just to have this much time with her. And she'd come in a hurry because she wanted to be with me. That's because that's what happens when you love each other. You want to be with each other. Jesus wants to be with his people. So my question today is, do we have the same anticipation about spending time with Jesus? I'm telling you, he wants to be with his people. You know, I was thinking, Jesus told his disciples, John 14, verse number 3, "I will come again." Then the choir got up this morning and sang, "Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and..." That's biblical. Because Jesus said this, "I will come again and receive you, you disciples, unto myself." Now watch it. "That where I am, there ye may be also." Do you get that? I'm not coming to get you just so you can escape the hardships of life. I'm not coming to get you to take you out of this old wicked world. I'm not coming to get you to make your life... I'm coming to get you so that you can be with me. Do I want to be with him? Is that why I want to go to heaven? To be with Christ? Or do I want to go to heaven to get away from Pritzker? Probably a little bit of both, okay? But think about it. We often talk about, man, I just can't wait for heaven because I won't have this and I won't have that. And I get to see so-and-so. How many of us, I can't wait till I go to heaven because, you know what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get to be with Jesus. Jesus longs to be with his people. Shouldn't we want to be with him? That's the first thing I notice in this story. This is a true account, not a fiction. This is not a fable. Jesus made as if he would go further. Well, I better be going on. No, come on. Well, I better. No, we want you to stay with him. Well, okay. Number two, I want you to see that Jesus does not force himself on anyone. His presence in their house was only by invitation. He wasn't going to ask, can I come to your house? Hey, this was no Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come out of the tree. I'm going to your house today. I don't know if Jesus said that to anybody else. He did to Zacchaeus for a specific reason. But on this occasion, the only way Jesus would end up in their house is by invitation. Jesus does not force his presence on us. If we're going to enjoy the company of his presence, it's going to be by invitation only, our invitation. I want you to hear me well for the next couple of minutes here. Listen carefully. Spiritual matters never scream for our time and our attention. No. Lesser matters bellow for, they're always bellowing for our time and attention. And you know what, folks? We must choose to devote time and attention to the weightier spiritual matters of life, because those things don't create a lot of noise. Let me give you an example. Get up in the morning. What's screaming at you? Read your Bible or read your text messages? I know what's screaming at, because it screams at me. Who texted? I got a whole book here, a whole book full of the words from God. And what's screaming? It's sitting there, just quiet as can be. But no, that thing over here, you know, wherever it is. Who texted? Hey, don't you have some text? You know, what's the weather doing? Hey. Prayer versus Facebook. Uh-oh. Yeah, listen to John. You think this is tough. You need to listen to John Rice, folks. You need to listen to him. Prayer versus Facebook. What screams at you? Come on. What screams at you? Not prayer time. That's just kind of there. Often I've got the little prayer booklet, you know, and it's kind of sitting there. Soul winning versus basketball, volleyball. What screams at you? Somehow we got all this energy to play volleyball or basketball, but it's just too tough to go walking up to a door. The spiritual, godly things in this life I have to choose them. Have to seek them. We're going to have this constant interference with things that are lesser. And I'm just saying this morning that the prompting of the Spirit is always less vocal than the prompting of the flesh. The prompting of things eternal is always less vocal than the prompting of things temporal. Jesus didn't say, hey, aren't you going to invite me to your house? He didn't say that. I'm Jesus. Don't you realize who I am? Don't you want me to come be with you? He didn't say it. He just said, well, I'm going to be going on. No. Don't leave. Folks, this is what I mean. The spiritual, weightier things of life, if you and I are going to enjoy that and be a part of that and benefit from that, it's going to be by invitation only, because those things don't force themselves on us. Now, you got a whole month of March Madness basketball. Tell me that March Madness basketball won't be a lot louder than reading your Bible. That's where it goes. These things, on the Sea of Galilee, during the storm, when the disciples were scared to death, Jesus went to them walking on the water. Mark chapter 6, verse 48 says that he would have passed by them. He's not going to thrust his presence on anyone. If we enjoy the presence of Christ, I'm not talking, we all have, saved people, have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our body. He's with us. He's in us. But I'm talking about spending the day in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to live like that and enjoy that, it's going to be by invitation only. It's going to be because we ask him. At the beginning of the day, do you ever invite Jesus to be with you? Do you seek his presence to guide you? Do you ask him to strengthen you? You know what we like? We like his provision. We like his power. We like his peace. Those are all benefits of knowing him. But how about wanting to be with him? Amen. Not what can we get from him, but can I spend the day with him? Amen. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Yeah? This is not deep, is it? You know, you imagine a marriage relationship where the husband, you know, the husband enjoys the food that his wife cooks and the clean clothes. Isn't it nice, fellas? Dude, you get dressed in the morning and eat clean clothes. You open the dresser drawer and here's clean clothes and the shirts are ironed in the closet and, you know, the wife takes care of all the kids. Do you understand, fellas, that I can enjoy all the benefits of being married and miss enjoying being with her? Same thing's true about a wife. She can enjoy the money that she has to spend because her husband works, the lawn, the landscape that are cared for by the husband. She can jump in and drive the vehicle, run smoothly because her husband takes care of it. And the honeydew things around the house are all fixed and taken care of. And she can enjoy all the results and the benefits of being married to him and miss being with him. Marriage isn't really about all the benefits. It's about the person. Salvation, there's a lot of benefits. But don't miss that salvation is about the person. It's the person. If we're not careful, we'll enjoy the results of being saved more than we enjoy the Savior. Because Jesus does not push himself on people. Jesus longs to be with his people. Jesus does not force himself on people. Number three, Jesus waits until he is invited. You find that in verse 29. They constrained him saying, abide with us. Now, he didn't invite himself to their home, but he did respond as soon as they invited him. Abide with us. Now, come on. The definition of the word abide. What's the word abide mean? Look at the verse. Look what it says. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with him. That's the definition. Abide and tarry. Tarry, abide. They mean the same thing. Stay, continue, be present. Jesus, come spend the day with us. Spend the evening with us. You know what this is? Jesus, spend the day with me. I don't want to just enjoy the... We sang it this morning. Saved, saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. That's the benefit of being saved. But I could find great pleasure and enjoyment in that and not enjoy him. He's a real person, folks. I'm talking about enjoying the presence of Christ. I've told you before the story about Tom Malone. And he went to preach somewhere and the preacher picked him up and they... We're driving from the airport to the motel. Brother Malone's sitting in the passenger seat, and the preacher's driving along. Brother Malone just kind of talking. All of a sudden, the preacher looked out the window like this. And just Malone's looking around. And that went on the whole time Brother Malone was there preaching for him. And finally, he got the best of Brother Malone. He said, "Pastor, can I ask you a question? Who are you waving at?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I'm just waving at Jesus." And Brother Malone thought, "This guy's a nut. This guy's a nut." He flew back to Detroit, Michigan, got in his car at the airport to drive north to Pontiac where the church was. He's driving along, just thinking about the meeting and being with Jesus. Is that so nutty? Is that so nutty? Maybe not. If you're interested in spending the day with Christ. You know what this story is, folks? You know what it really is? It's a visual explanation of James 4:8. You say, what's James 4:8? Okay, here's what it says. Draw nigh to God, and what? He will draw nigh to you. Brother Allen, I'll let Brother Allen be God. That is a tough choice, but I'll let that Brother Allen be God. I'll be Terry the Christian. This is God my Father. Do you know I am as close to God and as close to the presence of Christ, not as He wants me to be, but as I choose to be. Because if I want to be close to Him, if I take a step, He does. And if I take a step, He does. If I take a step, He does. And I don't pat God on the back, okay? And why don't we in the morning, you know, we're thanking God, we're talking to God, asking God, praising God, and talking to Him, and Lord, I need to, you know, what's wrong with God? I'd just really like to spend the day with You. Amen. You say, well, I don't have time to go sit in a pew at church and just close my eyes and Jesus will go with you anywhere you go. Well, if it's good, Amen. He's not going to go to the tavern with you. Right. He'll go with you. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. So they said, Jesus, would you come? They didn't say, they didn't know it was Jesus. Now, come on, abide with us. Stay with us. Come in, Terry, for a while. He did. And he talked with them, and he broke the bread, and their eyes were opened, and he was gone. And can I say, Christian, listen to me. That's how quickly life's going to be over. It's here and gone. You can grovel around in your disappointments and things not working out like I wanted them to. And yes, I'm saved, but you know, this is just not the life that I envisioned. And this is not what I had chosen. You can do all that you want to. I want to tell you something. It's here, it's gone, and you spent your whole life saved, never enjoying the presence of your Savior. And as soon as he left, they said, that was him. That's him, and now he's gone. A man by the name of C. Austin Miles attended the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and the University of Pennsylvania. And he, 1892, he abandoned his career as a pharmacist, and he began to write gospel songs. He was a saved man. The Hall Mack Company published his songs, and later he became the editor and the manager of that publishing company and was that editor and manager for 37 years. And one day in March of 1912, he was developing film in the old-fashioned way of developing film, and he was waiting for the process to complete, and his Bible was nearby, and he just said, "I'm going to read." And so he picked up his Bible, and it just opened to John chapter 20. If you don't know, that's the resurrection chapter in the Gospel of John. And he began to read, and he came to the account of Mary Magdalene. Do you remember that? And the tomb is empty. And Mary Magdalene, listen, out of whom, the Bible says, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. And she's on her knees, weeping. They've taken him. And Jesus comes up behind her. Says, "Why weepest thou?" And she thinks he's the gardener. And says, "Sir, if you know where they've taken him, if you know where he's they take, just let me know if they've taken him somewhere." Remember what Jesus said? One word. Mary. He called her name. That's all that she needed. He called her name, and she realized it's him. She turned and leaped for his feet and said, "Don't touch me." So Miles is reading this, and he's reading it, and he realized, oh, the film has developed, but he was gripping his Bible. He said that his muscles were tense and vibrating. And he put his Bible down and he thought, and I'm quoting now from his own words, "This is not an experience limited to a happening almost 2,000 years ago. It is the daily companionship with the Lord that makes up the Christian's life. It's not just that we've been saved. We have a Savior. And his name is Christ, and he longs to be with us, and he's not going to force himself on us, and he waits until he's invited." And then Miles sat down, and he wrote these words, "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Help me now. And he walks with me. And he walks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." How close are you? You're as close as you want to be. But that's by invitation only. By invitation only. Just like salvation is by invitation only. You don't walk into a church and get saved because you're in a building. You don't go through water and get saved because you got wet. You get saved because you invite the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient payment for your sin. Salvation, the presence of God, the Savior, all of it, folks, is by invitation only. I hope you've made those invitations. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Father, I pray that you'll use the message today to help us, challenge our hearts with it. Lord, you challenged me with this. I asked if I could spend the day with you today, not just a few minutes in the morning when I read the Bible, prayed, but Lord, just know your presence all day long. Enjoy you. Help us to desire that. Help us to want that. And help us to take the time to invite you to abide with us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. One who would say this morning, "Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God really spoke to my heart. I was helped by this. I needed it. And I want to make sure that I extend the invitation to spend the day with Christ." If that's you this morning, can I see your hand wherever you're sitting today? That's God spoke to your heart. You got to know if God did or didn't. Thank you. Wonder who's here, say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. Don't know. But I'd sure like to know." We have men that can show men how to get saved. We have ladies that can show ladies how to be saved. People sitting here this morning, saved at the end of services, during the service. Just, we can help you. But we got to know that you want to know. I wonder who's here and say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Pray for me." Just lift your hand in the air. That's all you need to do. He's not asking you to join the church. Just if you're not sure you're saved, just be honest. Thank you. I appreciate it. Somebody else? Be honest today. Anybody else? Not sure I'm saved. All right? If you raised your hand just now, look at me just for a second. We have ladies that can show you how to be saved. In fact, my wife sitting right over here, if you'll come, she can sit right here and show you how to trust Christ this morning. Just come right. She'll meet you right over here. Her name's Joyce. That's great. God bless you, lady. That's wonderful. I don't want to twist your arm. If you're not interested, that's fine. But if you're interested, she'll show you this morning. Second row there, Joyce. You're not sure that you're saved? You need to talk to somebody about it. The guy next to you can help you. If you've been saved, haven't been baptized, you know, obey Christ. Just follow him in believer's baptism. We can help you with that this morning. Now, if you've been saved and baptized, know this is the place God wants you to be a member. You come. That's going to help you with that. But child of God, my heart, thank God for anybody that needs to be saved. That's the ultimate right there. But let's enjoy the Savior. The Savior. Not just the benefits of salvation, but him. Father, bless. Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you obey the Lord this morning. Love my wife. I tell you, she cooks good food. She cleans the house. She keeps the clothes washed and laundered and the shirts ironed. And boy, she takes care of those kids. I love my wife. Okay, you love being with her? With her. It's wonderful being saved, isn't it? Our sins are forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. Okay. Well, how about the one who made all that possible? His name is Jesus. He wants to spend time with you. He loves you. He loves you. He longs to be with his people.